I've just had really good experiences with some of that.
Hey, Patrick, I think you're on your phone. Elizabeth, it's 6 o'clock.
Good evening. Welcome to the Minnesota OAHAL live meeting. My name is Elizabeth. I am a compulsive eater and your leader for this meeting.
Hey, Elizabeth. Welcome.
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 Hi, everybody. This is a meeting conceived to bring an added dimension of realism to our remote OA community. Our goal is to share the power of recovery via a meeting that is safe and by its nature very visual. We want to welcome all those attending. You may reference our attendee guide for detailed instructions and information. If you would like to participate in the meeting, either by video or by phone, before the meeting begins, please use the Sign Up Genius link called Volunteer to Participate Virtually on our website, mnhowlive.org. On the same webpage, you will find a link to our meetings, readings, and tools. If you have not signed up, you may volunteer to take a reading or a tool via our meeting's live chat. Only 2 hour OAHAL sponsors share on tools. If you need technical help, you can register for a coaching session on Monday or Thursday evenings via our Sign Up Genius form. If you are able, if you are unable to make this time, please send a note to mnhowlive@gmail.com. The audio portion of this meeting is being recorded. Please visit our website at mnhowlive.org to download the files. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change,
the courage to change the things I can,
and the wisdom to
know the difference.
Thy will
be done.
Amen. Amen.
I assume that I am not alone this evening, but for the record, are there any other compulsive eaters at this meeting other than myself?
Oh, yes.
I'm here.
Oh, yeah.
Here.
I got a bunch of them. Yeah.
Hello.
Hi, everybody.
Need to unmute Elizabeth.
Please use the meeting's chat function as a virtual We Care book and enter your first name, phone number, times available for phone calls, and whether or not you are currently a sponsor in the HAL format. We will then add you to the We Care book that is being circulated in the room. A copy of this list can be sent to you via email after the meeting. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. Would someone please read what is how?
Hi, I'm Sheila, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Sheila. Welcome.
Hey, Sheila. Welcome.
Hey, Sheila.
Thank you. What is how? How is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous whose basic principle is that abstinence is the only means to freedom from compulsive overeating and the beginning of a spiritual life? Where and why did how begin? How began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviving a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting format is taken from Roseanne's book, I Put My Hand in Yours, and centers around the concept of service. Many of the questions used in house sponsoring stem from OA Plus and Westminster groups. The outline of service came from the OA Suffolk County, New York Sponsors Guide. And I'll pass.
Thanks, Sheila.
Thanks, Sheila.
Would someone please read the only requirement?
Hi, everyone. It's Maureen, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Maureen. Welcome.
Hi, Maureen.
Hi, Maureen.
Hey. The only requirement. Overeaters Anonymous respects the autonomy of each OA group. We do suggest, however, that any group that has requirements in addition to the suggested 12 steps and 12 traditions inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found effective in working the program and do not represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the how concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed this evening by those who share are their own and not necessarily those of OA How. The Board of Trustees states, quote, "We understand the third tradition to mean that individual ways of working one's program should not exclude any compulsive overeater from attendance and participation at OA meetings anywhere, anytime. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says he or she is a member is a member. We of Overeaters Anonymous welcome all members with open arms." With that, I pass.
Thanks, Maureen.
Maureen.
Thank you.
Would someone please read the how concept?
Jane, thank you.
I just saw your message there. I can read that. I'm Jane, compulsive overeater.
Hey, Jane.
Hey,
welcome.
I'm just scrolling here. The how concept. Oops. Hand and screen. The Overeaters Anonymous how meetings have been formed to offer the compulsive eater who accepts the 12 steps and the 12 traditions as a program of recovery a disciplined and structured approach. How groups are formed in the belief that our disease is absolute and that only absolute acceptance of the OA program will offer any sustained abstinence to those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, we accept the 9 tools of the program and the 12 steps and the 12 traditions as necessary for our recovery. In OA How, our daily action plan is outlined in the structured use of each of the other tools. Our meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the how of the program. We pray that the collective group conscience and love that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us, and that the how ideals will help us to progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and in the daily adherence to the program as it is written in our literature. The Tuesday evening meeting also firmly understands that after our recovery has begun through abstinence and the taking of the first three steps, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offers us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive overeating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. May God, as each of us understands him, open our minds and our hearts to the love which is manifested on this meeting. Amen. Pass.
Thanks, Jane.
Thanks, Jane. Thank you.
Would someone please read reflections for the newcomer?
Hi there. I'm Julie B., compulsive overeater.
Reflections. Hey, Julie. Welcome.
Welcome.
Hi, thanks. Hey, Julie.
Hello.
Reflections for the newcomer. Welcome to OA How. We are all so glad that you have decided to become a part of our fellowship. You know that the How concept is a discipline program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls, all lead to a life based on universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord, with many things going on around us. Therefore, if there is a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found that the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the newcomer. If the newcomer shies away from this life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, second here, it's got to advance this. Here we go. Sorry, I'm losing my place in the reading here. Okay, I need a smoother way to do this. I'm sorry, I've completely lost my place now.
Is there someone else who could pick up
where we left off? I could help. This is Megan in Virginia. I'm not sure if I'm in the exact right spot, but the last thing I know I heard was, we have found the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner. Does that sound right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. The discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. If the newcomer shies away from this life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomer assistance in finding a new sponsor. The rationale here is, if the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there is a breakdown in the level of communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. That's from the Doctor's Opinion, Big Book, page 26, Roman numeral 26, paragraph 2. If a sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-deception cannot be overstressed if you are to recover. Therefore, a sponsor, in all self-honesty, must release all sponsees to continue his own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what he does not experience. Finally, you must believe that we need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via the phone or person-to-person contact. Only positive, upbeat recovery belongs at our meetings. A body badly burned by alcohol does not often recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is a most powerful restorative. And that's from the family afterward, Big Book, page 133, paragraph 2. Good luck. Everyone in the fellowship is praying that you find the release from obsession so many of us have. God bless, and no matter what, keep coming back. We'll always be here for you. I pass.
Thanks, Megan and Julie.
Thanks, Megan and Julie.
Would someone please read an excerpt from step 2 of the OA 12 and 12?
Yes, hi, this is Ruth from Connecticut.
Hi, Ruth. Welcome.
Hey, Ruth.
Hi. So this is excerpt from step 2 of the 12 steps, 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, pages 9 to 11, starting at paragraph 2. When we look with complete honesty at our lives, we see that where eating is concerned, we've acted in an irrational and self-destructive manner. Under the compulsion to overeat, many of us have done things no sane person would think of doing. We have driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We've eaten food that was frozen, burnt, stale, or even dangerously spoiled. We've eaten food off of other people's plates, off the floor, off the ground. We've dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We've frequently lied about what we've eaten, lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth ourselves. We've stolen food from our friends, family, and employers, as well as from the grocery store. We've also stolen money to buy food. We've eaten beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick of eating. We've continued to overeat, knowing all the while we were disfiguring and maiming our bodies. We've isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships, and denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of our compulsive eating, we have turned ourselves into objects of ridicule and we've destroyed our health. Then, horrified by what we were doing to ourselves with food, we became obsessed with diets. We spent hundreds of dollars on weight loss schemes. We bought all sorts of appetite control drugs. We joined diet clubs and spas. We had ourselves hypnotized and analyzed. We had major surgery on our digestive systems. We had our ears stapled or our jaws wired shut. All of this we did willingly, hoping someday we could, quote, have our cake and eat it too. Some of us went from doctor to doctor looking for a cure. The doctors gave us diets, but we had no better success with those than with the other diets we'd been on. The doctors gave us shots and pills. Those worked for a while, but we inevitably lost control and overate again, putting back on the weight we'd worked so hard to lose. Many of us tried fasting, with and without a doctor's supervision. Usually we lost weight, but as soon as we started eating again, the compulsive eating behavior returned, along with the weight. Some of us learned to purge ourselves with vomiting, laxatives, or excessive exercise. We'd stuff food in our mouths until we were in physical pain, then we'd, quote, get rid of it. We damaged our digestive systems and our teeth while we starved our bodies of nutrients needed to live. Those of us who were overweight got plenty of advice from others about how to get to our ideal size, but nothing permanently solved our problem. We found that no matter what we did to ease our turmoil, our compulsive eating eventually returned. Over the long haul, our weight went up and our self-esteem went down. After a while, we became battle-weary and discouraged. Still, we could never accept our powerlessness. The prospect of becoming obese, sick, and out of control for the rest of our lives led some of us to conclude that life was simply not worth living. Many of us thought about suicide. Some of us tried it. Most of us, however, never reached suicidal desperation. Instead, we took comfort in a feeling that everything was all right as long as we got enough to eat. The only trouble was that as our compulsive eating progressed, it became harder for us to get enough. Instead of bringing comfort, the overeating backfired. The more we ate, the more we suffered, yet we continued to overeat. Our true insanity could be seen in the fact that we kept right on trying to find comfort in excess food long after it began to cause us misery. Pass.
Thanks, Ruth.
Thank you, Ruth.
Thanks, Ruth.
Thanks, Ruth.
Thank you. Would someone please read from chapter 5 of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, how it works?
This is Mary G., compulsive overeater.
Hi, Mary. Mary G.
Welcome. Hey, Mary.
Hey, Mary. Hello.
Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those too who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. But some of these we balk. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Pass.
Thanks, Mary.
Thanks, Mary.
Would someone please read the 12 steps of recovery?
Hi, everybody. I'm Elaine J. from Pennsylvania, and I'm a compulsive overeater. The 12
Hi,
steps.
Hi, Elaine.
Welcome. Hi.
Thank you. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order. I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. That's it. Bye.
Thank you, Elaine.
Would someone please read the 12 traditions of the program?
Certainly. Hi, everybody. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. My name is Revital, coming in from Toronto.
Hi, Revital.
Hey, Revital. Welcome.
Tonight. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thanks, Ravi Till.
Thanks, Ravi Till.
Thanks, Ravi Till.
Thank you.
The tools of recovery. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous are a program of recovery. Webster's Dictionary defines tool as any person or thing used to get something done. We have many tools of the program which will help us to recover on a daily basis. Tools are essential to the job. Tools are essential to get the job done, and they work for us. In order for a tool to work, it must be used.
What?
No. Yes.
Kidding. No way.
I can't believe that. Oh, my goodness sakes.
What the heck?
So, excuse me. So tool with our tools of recovery. I will ask that HAL sponsors explain how they use a particular tool with a limit of 3 minutes each tool. Would someone be willing to be the timekeeper?
Yes, this is Tamara. I'll be the timekeeper.
Thank you, Tamara.
Thanks, Tamara.
Okay, so the first tool is abstinence plan of eating.
Hey, y'all. This is Megan, compulsive overeater and an OA House sponsor.
Hey, Megan. And,
hi, Megan. Welcome.
Hey, hey, Megan.
Get back to the page here. Okay, here we go. Okay, tool one, plan of eating. A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The HAL disciplines were designed for food-addicted people. We believe in a disciplined and structured approach. HAL abstainers do not modify their food plan to suit themselves and commit themselves to black and white abstinence. Deviations invite the return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing in HAL. This means we depend upon each other for the strength and growth that we need to remain abstinent. We join together in an effort to free the compulsive overeater from the bondage of food through the use of a food plan, positive thinking, the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighed and measured meals with nothing in between except sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum. Food is written down, called into our sponsor, and committed so that we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. We also believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. Those of us who work the HAL program concepts use the following guidelines for a food plan. Number one, we do not write our own food plan. We use a food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. We discuss it with our sponsor. We do not pick one that allows any of our binge foods. If some food on our plan becomes a problem, we avoid it. Two, unless approved by a sponsor, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate or manipulate our food plan in any way. If we need to change our committed food during the day, we call a sponsor. Three, we weigh and measure all our portions so that there is no guesswork. We do not measure by eye. We use a measuring cup, spoon, and a scale. And I'm going to verbally describe my abstinence kit to you all, which I gathered a few things to bring with me. So the first and
for me, the primary thing that I use is my scale. I have like this massive kitchen scale. and it reads in like ounces, fluid ounces, grams. Like it has like six different settings, which I don't use all of them. I just pretty much use the grams and the ounces. And I have my nutritionist has put my food plan in all weighed amounts. So I personally do not use measuring cups or spoons in any way. If you are going to use them, it's important to fill them up and then use some sort of straight edge to go across the top, and then you can, you know, scoop it out. I don't really do that. For me, it's messy. It creates a lot of dishes. I really like the digital scale. I put my plate on it and I just start weighing. And one minor tip is if you're going to weigh, like say salad dressing or oil, put that on the plate first, because then you know it's clean. It's, for me, 10 grams of oil. It would be my dinner. And then I can add things to the top of it and kind of mix it up at the end. And then I'm not worried about over pouring onto my food. And, you know, that's a mess if that happens. So that's one of the things I do. Also, hold on. I have my bag here. I carry this bag with me. It's insulated. When I go to an event, to a restaurant, if I'm going to a restaurant, who goes to a restaurant these days, but I will bring some shelf-stable things. Especially I find it challenging to get enough vegetables, so I'll bring extra vegetables. I find it challenging to get enough. Sometimes they won't have a starch that I can eat because I don't eat everything. So I'll bring those things with me. And if there's an issue with the restaurant, I'm not stressed. I have something with me that I can plug into that food plan. And like, I have like baggies of stuff in here. Like this is mayonnaise packets and other little condiments that I might need to make a meal more appealing. I carry that stuff around with me. And this is also my little travel scale. This one folds out like this and you put the plate on it. It's very discreet in a restaurant. And you can just, like, once you have it under your plate, people won't even really know what you're doing. It is a little bit more finicky. I find these travel scales a little bit more finicky than my kitchen scale, but it's doable. And we have a phone. One of the most important things is the phone, because if I have an issue with my food and what I've committed, I then call my sponsor or text my sponsor or another sponsor and get it straightened out. The most important thing is I do not make a decision as to what food to put in my mouth. I commit that to somebody else. I must have been going for 2 minutes, so I'm going to move on. Four, we weigh ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight and once a week on maintenance. Unless advised otherwise by your doctor, we take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water a day. We do not drink alcohol. We do not use foods containing sugar, except if sugar is listed fifth or beyond on the ingredients level. And above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that counts. It is the decision to take it. So again, hi, it's Megan in Virginia. Grateful, compulsive overeater. And I was thinking about this today because I signed up to do this tool earlier. And somewhere in the big book, I meant to look it up and I forgot. It talks about the only solution for the alcoholic is entire abstinence. And so for us, our only solution is entire abstinence. But I was talking to somebody today and they were, you know, somebody who's not truly working program, but they have a food plan. And they said, well, you know, it's really hard. You can't just avoid it. You know, and I remember thinking when I first got into program and was first trying to get my feet under me in OA that, you know, I would rather be a different type of addict, because you could choose to eliminate those things from your life entirely and never have to deal with them again. And wouldn't that be easier? And today I realized that, you know, it's not about that. It's not about never having to sit down at a table again. It's not about an alcoholic never having to, you know, be around alcohol again. It's about the freedom that working a 12-step program gives you when you get to the point of neutrality with food, neutrality with whatever your substance is. And, you know, today, because of the step zero of put down the food and the beauty of having a food plan that makes it so that I am entirely abstinent from my binge foods and entirely abstinent from the behavior of compulsive overeating, because I have that gift, today I have neutrality around the food and I can go anywhere. Just like Bob and Bill could walk into a bar to kind of scoop up, you know, maybe a member who had fallen off the wagon and, you know, get his strength back out without risking their own sobriety. Today, thank you, Tamara, I see the warning. I can bake. I can make food that's for other people. I can be at gatherings and parties with all kinds of things that are not my food. And it's okay. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't talk to me. And if it does, I know the issue is not the food. I know the issue is that I'm, for some reason, not in fit spiritual condition. And my first action needs to be to step away and figure out why am I not in fit spiritual condition? Because it's never about that brownie. It's always about my fit spiritual condition. And with that, I'm going to pass. Grateful to be here for tonight. Yay, it's Tuesday.
Thanks, Megan.
Thank you, Megan.
Is there someone that would be OA Health sponsor to read on sponsorship?
Hi there, it's Revy Tal again. I'd be happy to read on sponsorship.
Hi, Revy Tal. Welcome.
Hey, Revy. Thank you. Thank you. I feel very welcome here. Thank you.
Hey, beautiful.
Hi, everybody. Okay, sponsorship. Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence and to living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask a sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on all three levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. In working with other members of OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction. Find a sponsor who has what you want and ask how it was achieved. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A house sponsor is a compulsive overeater who has completed at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has taken the first three steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. Reflections to the sponsor, suggestions for discussion. No list of reflections and meditations are end-alls and be-alls for the newcomer. A sponsor must be attentive not only to what the new person is saying, but also to what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are reticent to purchase books and who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that is the problem. It's the decision to have it that results in some trouble. The HOW concept is an alternative for people who have tried everything else. Therefore, the program is an immutable triumvirate of tools, steps, and traditions. Using the tools of weighing and measuring, our food, sponsors, meetings, phone calls, reading and writing, service, and anonymity, we follow the 12 steps and 12 traditions of OA in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addiction. Sponsors do not have the right to play God. We help each other. Okay, so once again, I am a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. One day at a time, if I do the things that my sponsor suggests that I do, I stand a really good chance at recovering for the next 24 hours ahead. And in this moment, I am grateful for this moment of recovery that I have. And so I will often say I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. Yesterday I recovered. Tomorrow I have no clue what tomorrow holds. Right now I am recovering. I'm doing what I need to do to secure, to the best of my awareness, the possibility that I will continue to remain abstinent. And my sponsor hears what I have to say. Fellows hear what I have to say. I don't do any of this alone. And if and when I share something with my sponsor, they may offer suggestions, some feedback, and they may even every once in a while tell me not to be so hard on myself, because my pendulum can swing in the other direction. I can be really rebellious, or I can just be really hard on me. And those are character defects that I get to work on through the inventories and working the steps and tools and so on. But as a sponsor, I can definitely share that it's a huge relief for me to know that I don't need to and I don't get to counsel anyone. I'm no one's mother. I'm no one's counselor. I'm not God. God comes in through group conscience, so that relieves me of that. What I am as a sponsor is a witness who has gone through these particular steps just prior to the person that I'm supporting and the fellow that I'm supporting. And if I hear something or relate to something, I can definitely share with them that they're not alone and here was my experience. And I can also share that based on my experience, here's what I found worked and here's what others had suggested for me, and when I tried it, it worked. And that's pretty much it. That individual, that fellow who is the sponsee, gets to have, you know, it's their program. They get to have the support. They get to have a place to share safely what needs to be shared, and they get to explore what works and what doesn't work. And hopefully, if I'm doing my job, really, I have two jobs: to witness and to share experience, strength, and hope if and when I see that something that applies. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for Vital.
Thanks for Vital.
Very nice.
For the sake of time, will all HOW and OA sponsors please join me in sharing only the following three things. One, how long in OA and HOW. Two, how long abstinent in OA and HOW. Three, how much weight lost or gained. This is not a time for sharing for sponsors. Please keep it brief and no applauding between sponsors. If they wish to, sponsors can announce that they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their phone number. Sponsors are invited to share by starting your video and clicking the raise hand button on the participants panel, or pressing star and 9 on your phone, or just start your video. When it is your turn to share, you will hear your name and your audio will be unmuted. Following your share, please turn off your video as the meeting moderator remutes your line.
Mary?
This is Mary G. here in St. Paul, Minnesota. My abstinence date is November 1st, 2012, and I've lost and maintained 75 pounds. Pass.
Lewis?
Problems over food. My name is Lewis from Maryland. And I came into the rooms of OA HOW in March of 2006. My back-to-back abstinence date is from January 3rd of last year. And by the grace of God, I've surrendered 105 pounds from my top weight.
Julie B.
Hi, I'm Julie B., compulsive overeater. I started working HOW in June 2013. My renewed abstinence date is January 23rd, 2020. I've been relieved of around 45 pounds, and I do have an opening for a sponsee at 8 a.m. Central Time. Pass.
Revital?
I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. My name is Revital, coming in from Toronto. I was introduced, or I walked into the OA rooms in December of 2004, and was introduced to the two-hour OA HOW format on May 23rd, 2017, I became abstinent finally and remain abstinent to this day by the grace of God, the power of this program. My body has released approximately 100 pounds and I don't have any openings right now. Thank you.
Nancy?
Hi, this is Nancy R. I am a compulsive overeater, sponsoring the OA HOW format. I started in traditional OA in June 2017, and starting in OA HOW in May 2020, and I released 13 pounds. I am very grateful for the program. Thank you, I pass.
Pamela?
Hi, my name is Pamela, I'm compulsive overeater and food addict, 2-hour house sponsor. I came to OA 40 years ago and I left for 20 years and came back directly into 2-hour how. And that was January 22nd, 2017, 16. And my recommitment date is June 15th, 2017. And my weight gain or loss is up to my higher power, my nutritionist, my doctor, and my sponsor. Thank you.
Sheila.
Hi, I'm Sheila, compulsive overeater from Minnesota. I came directly to How in May of 2015. My abstinence date's May 19th of 2015, and I have been relieved of over 90 pounds. Pass.
Ida.
Hi, everybody. I'm Ida, compulsive overeater, food addict. I joined OA in January of 2002. I committed to OA How in March of 2002. My abstinence date is 11/26/10, and God has relieved me of about 55 pounds. Pass.
Nancy.
Hello, everyone. Nancy B, compulsive overeater. I came into the rooms of How in September of 2017, and my back-to-back abstinence in July 3rd of 2018, and I have been relieved of 109 pounds.
Christina.
Hey everyone, it's Christina in New Mexico. I'm maintaining about a 50-pound weight loss, and my abstinence date is June 2017, and I'm a sponsor. Good to be here. Thanks.
Bryn.
I'm Bryn. A 2-hour sponsor from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. My most recent abstinence date is October 2007. I previously gave away about 554 pounds, 325 pounds. At present, I'm maintaining my weight at, according to my doctor's recommendation. Pass.
Kelly S.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kelly. I'm a compulsive overeater. I came into OA How in April of this year, got abstinent May 10th of this year, and I have about a 15-pound weight loss, and that's it. Thank you.
Ruth.
Hi, this is Ruth in Connecticut. I'm an OA How sponsor. My back-to-back date is December 11th of 2008, and I'm maintaining a 45-pound weight loss.
Nancy P.
Hi, this is Nancy P. I am from Minnesota. I came into OA How in April of 2016, and I am down 75 pounds and gratefully recovering every day. Thanks.
Heather.
Hi, everybody. My name's Heather. I hope that beeping's not me. I'm an OA How 2-hour sponsor in Texas. Came into OA How in August of 2019. My latest recommitted back-to-back abstinence date is May 14th of 2020. I'm on maintenance, down 35 pounds from my top weight, up 30 pounds from my low weight. Pass.
Erlinda.
Hi, Erlinda from Chicago, compulsive overeater. My back-to-back abstinence date is February 11, 2019? Yes, 2019. I'm very, very grateful to be here, and I don't have an opening at this time. Thanks, I pass.
Kelly C.
Hi, my name is Kelly C. from Pennsylvania. I'm a compulsive overeater. I started in traditional OA 17 years ago, but didn't find the structure and discipline that I so needed and now love until December of 2019, which is also my abstinence date. I've lost approximately 35 pounds and I am a sponsor. Thank you for being here and I pass.
Maureen.
Hi everyone, Maureen A. in Virginia, compulsive overeater. I joined traditional OA in March of 2019, and then I became sugar abstinent, joined OA How in January of this year, became fully abstinent, and I have been gratefully released of 55 pounds. And with that, I pass.
Tamara.
Hi, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater. I
have been blessed with the gift of abstinence on April 3rd of 2017. I've been relieved of almost 100 pounds with over 75 pounds in the HOW program. My recommitment date is December 1st of 2019. I'm glad to see everyone here. Thank you.
Marlena.
Hi, I'm Marlena. I'm a compulsive eater and a sponsor in the two-hour HOW program. And I've been in and out of OA for over 40 years, in HOW for over 4 years. And my recommitted abstinence date is 4/22 of this year. And I'm down 55 pounds from my top weight.
Jane S.
Hi, I'm Jane. In Canada, Vancouver Island, I'm a HOW sponsor. I came into regular OA 7 years ago, and I then came into HOW September 19th of last year, 2019, and I've lost about 14 pounds. Thanks.
Megan.
Hey, all. This is Megan in Virginia. I'm a compulsive overeater and an OA HOW sponsor. My back-to-back abstinence date is June 8th of 2015. I've given away 85 to 90 pounds in program twice. I'm a relapse survivor and have had an abstinent pregnancy. I passed.
Howard.
I am Howard, a compulsive overeater. I'm a sponsor on the weight shift. I've been abstaining a little over 34 years, 19 years, and 2 months in OA HOW. I've gained 10 pounds and a little bit of sanity.
If there's anybody on the phone, press star 6 and come on in. Or if there's anybody else that I'm missing, please let me know. Anybody else? All right, Elizabeth, if there's nobody else, you can go ahead. Oh, wait, I have to go. Sorry. Just kidding. My name is Carrie. I am an overeater from Minnesota. I've been relieved of about 35 pounds, and I've been in the program a little bit over 11 months. Pass.
Hi, everybody. My name is Elizabeth. I am an abstinent, recovered, compulsive overeater in Cincinnati, Ohio. I first came to OA in 2001. I found the two-hour OA HOW format in 2005, where I stayed for 5 years and continued my journey in OA, but not in working the HOW format. I eventually returned to HOW a year and a half ago. And my recommitment to abstinence, two-hour format, is July 23rd, 2019. Yes, 19. And I have lost approximately 75 to 80 pounds from my top weight. Pass. Did I mute accidentally? I'm sorry. Clay feet. We should remember that all OAs have clay feet. We should not set any member upon a pedestal and mark her or him out as a perfect OA. It is not fair to the person to be singled out in this fashion. And if the person is wise, she or he will not wish it. If the person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we are in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are all only one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we have been in OA or how, nobody is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. Would someone please read and pitch on anonymity?
Hi again, Pamela K from Sarasota, two-hour HOW format sponsor.
Hi, Pamela. Hey, welcome. Pamela.
Anonymity. Anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition because it guarantees that we will place principles before personality. It offers each of us freedom of expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures us that only we as individual OA members have the right to make our membership known within our community. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication means that we never allow our faces or our last names to be used once we identify ourselves as OA members. Within the fellowship, anonymity means that whatever we share with another OA member will be held in respect and confidence. What we hear at meetings should remain here. It should be understood, however, that anonymity must not be used to limit our effectiveness within the fellowship. It is not a break of anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of our group or to other service offices of OA for the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12-step work. It is likewise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12-step help for group members in trouble, provided we are careful to omit specific personal information. If there is, if their disease has reactivated and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may in effect help kill them and their anonymity. Anonymity is the part of the program that allows each of us to stand in front of our fellows and share for the first time, honestly, who we are, where we have been, and where we hope to go, without fear that our story will be told outside these rooms. For many of us, the OA rooms are the first place where we have no fear being judged or criticized. We are accepted as we are at that moment. This is the first time for most of us that we experience sharing where we are not told what we did wrong. We come into OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We are supported back to health with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We are encouraged to speak of our pain, and we are lovingly told your secrets are safe. Come share our recovery, recovery on a threefold level, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Lastly, a word to newcomers, please join us. However, if you decide that our program is not for you, please remember that our anonymity allows us to grow and recover from a very serious disease. Whom you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here. Here, here,
here, here,
here, here.
I chose anonymity. I like to share on anonymity a lot because it's so important in my recovery. I like to be able to pick up the phone and call somebody and know that it's not going to get outside of where we talking. I don't share, I'm not in turmoil like I used to be, but in another 12-step program, my anonymity was broken. And I just stayed sober with a sheer persistence. I'm gonna show them. And I've got several decades in that fellowship. And I also seen when another person's anonymity was broken, that she went back out and died from her disease. And I feel the same way here in Overeaters Anonymous. It does. Food will kill me. It was killing me. I came in using over 400 units of insulin a day. I'm down to 15 units a day. My cholesterol's numbers were off the chart. And today, they're normal or below normal. I did not, I was dying and I felt it and I could not walk anywhere. I couldn't even walk 5 feet in my apartment without my walker. And today I don't need the walker. I use a cane. And you know, whatever I shared with somebody right from the beginning, it hasn't gotten around the rooms. And I'm so grateful for that because that's what helps me stay. Thank you, Tamara. That's what helps me stay abstinent, and especially during these times when I'm locked into my community. And, you know, I could easily say the heck with it and go on with eating what I'm not supposed to eat. And for that, whom you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here. Thank you.
Thanks, Pamela.
Thanks, Pamela.
Well,
is there someone who could read and pitch on telephone?
I can do that. I'm Julie B., compulsive overeater.
Hi, Julie.
Hey, Julie. Welcome.
Hey, Julie.
Hello. So lovely. Telephone. Compulsive overeating is a disease of isolation. The telephone is a means of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard-to-handle highs and lows we all experience. The telephone is also a daily link to our sponsors, and as part of the surrender process, is a tool by which we learn to ask for help, reach out, and extend that same help to others. In how, we are asked to make at least 4 telephone calls a day, 1 to our sponsor and 3 more to other OA members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. The telephone is our lifeline. So when I came into the program 7 years ago, I really felt like an outsider in so many ways in my life. And I have since learned that a lot of others in our program have felt that same way. And even though I had always felt like an outsider, and when I got to OA How, I realized that I'd found my people, I was really hesitant to make the telephone calls because I didn't like to talk on the telephone. At least that's what I believed about myself. But because it's required, I started making my telephone calls. And over time, I got to know people in the rooms and from telephone meetings. And friendships developed, and I got to know people, they got to know me. And it really helped me become and feel even more and more a part of this fellowship. And in a way, it was like practicing every day what we've been needing over the last 6 months, which is the last 6 months because of COVID, just really needing connections with people. And I've been able to practice that every single day for the last 7 years. And there have been times when I've felt really low or depressed, and I was able to make a call or 2 or 5, depending on what I needed at the time, and get support. Or I've received calls where somebody was in a sad place or they were facing a particular challenge, and I could be present to them. I could listen. And I try not to offer advice. Sometimes it still comes out. But mostly when I receive a call, I'm there to listen and to, again, to be present and to honor wherever that person is at. I call my sponsor every morning, and that, of course, has been a great gift because this person really gets to know me, and you know, I don't hear about her struggles, but she sure hears about mine. And when I would have, like, things happen a lot, like a lot of food mistakes, I really didn't want to call her, but I did because she asked me to. And because I did, we were able to figure out what the issue was and come up with a solution together. So in so many ways, making the calls to my sponsor and to everybody else that I talk to on the phone has just really enhanced my program, and I'm hoping that I enhance theirs. I'll pass.
Thanks, Julie.
Our next tool is meetings.
Ralph's Over Food. My name is Lewis from Maryland.
Hi, Lewis. Welcome.
Thank you. Meetings. Meetings are gatherings of two or more compulsive eaters who come together to share their experience before and after recovery and to share the and to share the strength and hope OA has given them. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating to one another and by sharing the gifts we receive through this program. We find that being on time for meetings enhances our recovery and provides service to the meeting. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of them all. As HOW members, we attend at least one HOW meeting a week. And thank God there are meetings. I was 12-stepped into this program, and how it worked was the person came to my door, and she radiated recovery through her physical abstinence. I saw a difference in her. And she said, come to a meeting. That's what she said to me. That was her message. And I showed up to the meeting. And thank God there were people there, because I immediately could relate to the message. I could relate to the program, the everything. Unfortunately, it didn't, you know, I was able to get about 6 months of abstinence after that, but it didn't stay. And I relapsed a lot. But it did change my life. My relationship with food was never the same. It got worse for a period of time, but it's now been transformed. And meetings are a core of my program, because when I come to meetings, I learn what it means to have a sane, abstinent life, what that experience is, because I get what the program is. I'm reminded that I have a primary purpose. It is the most vulnerable person is the most important person. We are all here gathered out of love and concern for all of our abstinence. There's a lot of service that's performed in meetings. We're all self-supporting through our own contributions. And the thing that's also most powerful about meetings is the honesty and the vulnerability of the sharing that occurs. And it's an extraordinary experience just to see the transformation in people's lives, particularly in the sponsor line. It's really an extraordinary manifestation of God's love and the effect that this program has in people's lives. Every meeting I go to, I come out of feeling better 100% of the time. So I'm profoundly grateful that you're all here. I need you more than you will ever need me. And I'm so grateful that that the service that's done in this meeting and that it's here, and that with that, I'll just keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Lewis.
Thanks, Lewis.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lewis. Next, we have literature and writing.
Hi there. I guess I can do that one too. Jane, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Jane.
Tool 6 and 7, literature and writing. Literature. We study the textbook Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions. Another AA book to reinforce our program. By substituting the words food and compulsive eating for the words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify closely. We also read OA literature, the OA book, Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions for today, for daily meditation, and Lifeline, our journal of recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain basic truths that we have found vital to our growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever-available tool that gives insight into our problem, as well as the strength to deal with it, and the very real hope that there is a solution for us. Writing. In addition to our writing, our inventories, and the list of people we have harmed, most of us found that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps. Further, putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our reactions and actions in a way that is often not revealed to us by simply thinking or talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see situations more clearly and perhaps better discern any necessary action. So again, I'm Jane, compulsive overeater. I didn't like the reading and writing and how at first. It was probably my biggest chore out of the tools that we had to do every day. But I was so willing to do the program that got me through. And when I talk to newcomers, I will often reassure them that, you know, questions beyond 40 get better. And that, once you get into, step 4 and beyond, it just gets richer and richer. And I find now, I really, really enjoy the writing tasks that my sponsor provides for me. And the reading, I'm reading the big book quite closely, just like a page at a time, basically. And I'm really getting a lot out, and the questions are really good. And I had to do some writing yesterday on the virtues of the principles of the AA program. And I knew that there were 12 principles that lined up with each of the steps. And I have, felt I was fairly familiar with them, but I came across a definition of humility that I'd not really thought of before or heard before. And I just want to, it's very simple, and I just wanted to read it to you all. Humility, a clear and concise understanding of what we are, followed by a sincere desire to become what we can be. And that's kind of something I've been meditating on in the last few days and sharing as I go. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Jane.
Next, we have service.
Hi, this is Carrie. I'm a compulsive overeater from Minnesota. And
Hey, Carrie. Hello.
Service. Carrying the message to compulsive overeater who still suffers is the basic purpose of our fellowship, and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will help reach fellow sufferers adds to the quality of our own recovery. Putting away chairs, making coffee, talking to newcomers, doing whatever needs to be done in a group for OA as a whole are ways in which we give back what we have so generously been given. Do what you can when you can. A life of sane and happy usefulness is what we are promised as a result of working the 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise. Always extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share, always to extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share my compulsion. For this, I am responsible. I am reading about step 12 in the big book, and it's been great. It's been great. One, I have a couple things come to mind, and I wrote them down. I appreciate that the show Dexter, I've been binging that on Netflix, and I appreciate that Dexter brought up the 12 steps in the show. I don't think it's appropriately represented, but at least they talked about it. And he said, 12-step people have no self-control, they lose everything, and they're trying to stop. Those are the three main things that 12-step people do. That's how he summed it up. So we are humans trying to be, we are humans, and we are trying to help humans when we provide service. And sometimes when people do service on the meeting, I get strong opinions about how it should be done or should not be done. So I have three different choices. And one of those choices is not to criticize. We're not here to criticize anybody about how they do things. So we can do nothing and shut up about it. we can bring it to the business meeting and talk about it at the business meeting, or you can do it yourself. And there's a lot of people on this meeting that maybe are sitting on the sidelines. And so if you have strong opinions about how things should be done, or even if you don't and you finally just decide, oh, I need to get involved, then let us know. Because there are a few people on this meeting. There's, I think there's like 48 people. And normally we have, I think, about 20 people that do service. So when we go through step 12, the main premise of that step is to bring the program to other people. And so how do I do this? Well, one thing I don't understand in this program yet is higher power. And I don't completely understand that. But I know if I stay in action in this program, that will provide me relief. So even if I can't figure it out, which I don't know if anybody can really say they can truly figure out higher power or God or whatever, I don't need to figure it out. That's not what we're told to do. What we're told is we're told to be of service in this program and to provide the message to other people who are suffering. That's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to figure it out. It's not a program of figuring it out. It's a program of action. So though I don't understand our higher power, because I've stayed in action, because I have made the calls when I don't want to make the calls, because I have done the program when I don't want to do the program, I've had fantastic results. I got a job now that I love. I've lost 35 pounds. I'm a better coworker. I'm a better friend. I'm just able to go and be part of the world, be part of humanity. Whereas before I was so miserable, ready to jump off of the bridge, that I couldn't be a service to anybody because I was just so in my head. So with that, I will pass. My name is Carrie. I'm a compulsive overeater from Minnesota. Thank you.
Thanks, Carrie.
Thank you, Carrie. Will all people doing service for OA at any level please stand and applaud service?
Woohoo! All right, service.
Woohoo!
Service.
Yeah.
Service.
Woohoo!
We all love service.
I certainly appreciate everyone doing service. The Minnesota OA How live meeting is a friendly place, and we want to get to know each other. If you are attending for the first time, please turn on your video and unmute your line and press star plus six on your telephone's keypad and introduce yourself by first name only and where you are from. If you would like to receive phone calls, please give us your phone number, the time zone, and best times to call.
I guess I'll go first. Hi, I am Benita. I am in DFW. I would love to receive calls. I forgot what you said to say. So I am new. Today is day 9 for me. And my number is 972-802-2827. Available for calls. Thank you.
Hey, Benita, welcome.
Hey, Benita. Welcome. So glad you're here.
Congratulations. I guess I'll go. My name is Sam, compulsive overeater. Today is day 1 for me, and I'm willing to receive calls anytime during the day or night. I'll put my number in the chat, and I'm just really grateful to learn from you guys and to get working.
Excellent. Thanks, Sam.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Anyone else? This meeting has ASL interpretation provided by state funding. We ask all deaf participants to please utilize the chat to let us know you. Please include the city and state in which you reside. You can also inform us by changing your username to ASL_your_name_state_abbreviation, etc. May we please have a treasurer's report?
I don't think tonight. But I don't think tonight, do we?
Okay. Our seventh tradition helps this. Our seventh tradition helps this meeting provide the equipment, enhance our website, contribute to our service structure, and refine the technology, develop other live OA face-to-face meetings, and more. Please go to MNHOWLIV, that's MNHOWLIV.org, to donate. We've got some bad news for you. It was bad news for us.
Oh, Elizabeth.
Oh, man.
No way.
I love this part. Yeah. It was bad. It was bad news for us, and it will probably be bad news for you. Whether you quit 6 days, months, or years, if you go out and take the first compulsive bite of food, you'll end up just like you have been in the past. You are a compulsive eater.
Did you make that up?
You say it isn't so.
No way. Man.
No, that's paraphrased from the Big Book, page 187. Are there any announcements?
Yes. Oh, go ahead, Mary.
Okay, is this Sheila? Yeah, Sheila and I are co-conspirators to find leaders for this meeting. And the one that's coming up most 2 weeks, on the 15th of September, we are looking for someone to lead the meeting. You can actually sign up right at the same site where you signed up to do a tool or a reading, or you could contact Sheila and I to let us know if you're available, particularly for the 15th. And then the next opening is not until the 20th of October. Do you have anything else, Sheila?
No, that's exactly what I was going to share. And I see Megan, I was going to put a plug for speakers, but I'll let you do the plug for speakers.
Thank you, Sheila.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I see. I already got somebody on the 15th. So thanks so much. Yay. It's taken. Thanks.
Well, thank you for service. That's awesome. This is Megan. I also help to find speakers for this meeting. We have one opening in September, which is the last Tuesday, almost 100%. It's the 29th. But whatever that last Tuesday is what we're looking for. And then we have, if you have an anniversary or some sort of special day coming up in October that you want to commemorate by giving service, that's one of the things I do, is I kind of commemorate those special days, like the month I came into program or a recommitment date. I try to do service at those times, just to remind me that service keeps me in the middle of the crowd, right? So the 29th, we need a speaker, and then there's a few spots in October, and we'd love to hear you share your experience, strength, and hope. My number's in the chat. I'll put it back in there if you would like to contact me, or you can sign up on the Sign Up Genius. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone. Literature and books. Newcomer and sponsor materials are located at the Virtual Intergroups resources page at www.oahowfmeetings.com, oahowfonemeetings.com. you can purchase OA books and pamphlets at bookstore.oa.org. It is now time for medallions. At OA HOW meetings, we recognize all the milestones of recovery for those working the HOW program. All other OA abstinence is given a round of applause. Anyone may request a medallion by turning on your camera and unmuting your phone. Okay, you guys, I'm a little lost here. I need help.
Elizabeth, would you like me to do medallions?
That would be great. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Heidi. I'm a compulsive overeater and house sponsor.
Hey, Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi.
Hey, medallions are something that we recognize for back-to-back abstinence, either days, months, desire, etc. And we celebrate that back-to-back abstinence here in HOW. And we give away medallions or chips to those who would like them for certain milestones. And at the end of this, if you have asked for a medallion and you would like one mailed to you, I'm the person on this meeting who goes ahead and sends them out to you. So by all means, I will private message you in the chat and get your address if you'd like that. So tonight, I'm wondering if there is anybody with 10 or more years of back-to-back abstinence celebrating tonight. Or 2 through 9 years of abstinence. You can *6 to unmute yourself. I think it's *6. Or you can turn on your camera and unmute yourself and ask for a medallion. Anybody with 18 months? One year of back-to-back abstinence. Anybody with 9 months tonight?
I have, this is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater. I have 9 months recommitment date, so thank you.
Awesome.
Tamara.
Thank you.
I'll reach out to you, Tamara. Way to go. Excellent. Anybody else with 9 months? Anybody with 6 months? Or 3 months? 90 days? 3 months? What about 60 days?
I think Nancy.
Hi, this is NCR. I am 90 days. Thank you so much.
Yay. That's awesome.
Nancy.
Congratulations.
Nancy.
I just made a note. I will reach out after this. Congratulations. Anybody else with 90 days or 3 months? What about 2 months or 60 days?
Hi, it's Karen. I have 60 days.
Awesome, Karen.
Hey.
Yay. Anybody else with 60 days or 2 months? You all get a virtual hug for these as well. What about 30 days, 1 month of back-to-back abstinence? Anyone? All right. Well, we do have one other chip. It's called a chip of desire. It's a 24-hour chip. And it doesn't mean that you have been abstinent for 24 hours or even that you want to be abstinent for 24 hours. It just means that you've seen or heard something on this meeting. Pardon? Can you not hear me?
No.
I can hear you, Heidi. It's Sheila.
I can hear you, Heidi.
Okay.
Just keep going, Heidi.
All right. Sorry, I thought someone said they couldn't hear me. So a chip of desire, it just means that...
Why don't you do the chips of desire?
Howard, they can hear me. Somebody tell Howard you can hear me. Can you still hear me?
I can hear you, Heidi.
Okay. So I'm just going to ignore Howard right now. The chip of desire. If you would like to do something different with your food or you just see something different.
Can you hear either way?
Okay, I'm not sure this is working well, but if anybody has heard anything I've said and you would like a chip of desire, I would love to send you one. We'd love to support you from this meeting. And is there anyone who would like a chip of desire tonight?
Sam, I'd like a chip of desire.
Yay,
awesome, Sam.
Congratulations to Sam.
Yay. Thank you, Sam. Glad you're here. Yay.
Anybody else would like a chip of desire? Did I see something in the chat? Okay, somebody just asked for one privately. I saw your note and I will send you one. Anybody else interested in a chip of desire tonight? Well, my name is Heidi C. And if you change your mind, you can private message me or give me a call and be happy to send one. Thank you. And back to you, Elizabeth.
Thanks, Heidi.
Thanks Heidi.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Howard. I don't think we have a step up. Should I read the step up portion?
Go ahead and read it, Elizabeth.
Okay, thank you. Step ups. At this point in our meeting, we ask the group to join us as we celebrate another example of the miracles that abound in OA. The stepping up portion of the meeting asks a sponsor to introduce a newcomer who has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence, who has completed the first three steps of the program, and who is now ready to become a sponsor. At HOW meetings, new sponsors are presented with a cactus plant to signify the tough love of the program, stick with the stickers, remember to drink your water, and a reminder that we don't water down the program. And I don't believe there's any step ups. Anniversaries. Birthdays are celebrated for each year of continuous abstinence. From the OA handbook, group handbook, page 10. At anniversaries, a candle is lit at the beginning of the meeting. We invite the person who is celebrating an anniversary to turn on their video for an anniversary reading, although I don't think there are any anniversaries. If you have an anniversary in the future, you may sign up for, well, attendees may sign up to celebrate step ups and anniversaries via the link on our website. Now the leader qualifies for 10 minutes. That's me. Okay. My name is Elizabeth. I am an abstinent recovered compulsive overeater. I say abstinent because I am free from all of my alcoholic foods. I say recovered because I am free from the mental obsession that would cause me to eat regardless of whether or not I was eating my trigger foods. I came to OA in 2001. I struggled off and on over the years. Abstinence was a real mysterious word to me. Because I looked it up in the dictionary and it said voluntary forbearance. And I couldn't figure to give something up if I was powerless to do so. So I had a long struggle in reconciling all of these little ideas in my head. But eventually, over time, I learned a lot about myself by working the 12 steps. And I learned a lot about the disease. I came to OA really just wanting to lose weight. I didn't even really understand that I was here to stop eating. If you asked me if I was a compulsive overeater, I would say, well, of course I am. I have 50 pounds to lose. Look at me. But that's not a first step. A first step is we admitted we were powerless over compulsive eating, that our lives had become unmanageable. I didn't know what I was powerless over. I recognized compulsive eating in my life. I recognized that there were times that when I would sit down to eat, I had a phase of life where I was so scared to eat anything because I knew that when I put something in my mouth that I didn't know when I would stop. There was a chance I would start eating and I wouldn't know when I would stop. That was terrifying. So I understood compulsive eating. I understood eating against my will, eating when I didn't want to, eating no matter my greatest wish to stop. So I understood the compulsive part. But I was very confused about the allergy and the mental obsession. In fact, I spent years having the two confused in my mind. I didn't know that I thought mental obsession, I thought if I wanted something, if I wanted more food, if I was craving, I thought that that was mental obsession. And I don't know, I just, it was, the whole first step was very confusing for me. And I do personally, I'm in another fellowship and I do think that food is much more challenging than those things which you can put up on the shelf and never touch again. We have to mess with food 3 times a day at a minimum. So anyway, my journey through OA has been long and arduous. It's been awesome. I've had incredible rewards from working the steps, but I've had a long, hard struggle trying to understand that first step completely. I didn't know that I hadn't made an inner concession for many years, even with years of abstinence. It just has been... I feel like abstinence and recovery eluded me for a long time, but I kept coming back and I kept working it and I kept working the steps. I've been through the 12 steps, 1 through 12, probably a dozen times since 2001. And as a result, I've had tremendous strides in healing and recovery. I was a bitter, angry, resentful woman when I got here in 2001. And the 12 steps eventually showed me that my unhappiness was not because of harm done to me at the hands of others. I had a very difficult upbringing and I spent a lot of time being angry and bitter at my parents, thinking that they were the reason I was so unhappy. And there was a lot of abuse and neglect in my childhood. But what I've learned by working the 12 steps is that I did more harm to myself than was done to me. The harm I did to myself was being bitter, angry, and resentful and unforgiving. I held on to those grudges for so long that they literally changed who I was. And the 12 steps have had... they've been a gift to me, a miracle of healing, to realize that my parents really did do the best they could. They really did love me. I didn't think that they did. I spent most of my childhood believing I was unloved. I've learned that a lot of the things I heard people say isn't really, what I heard in my head is not actually what they said frequently, like school teachers, things I was taught in school, things my parents said. The 12 steps have really, there's something I've heard people say that we need a renewing of our minds. And that's what the 12 steps have done for me. And that renewing of my mind is what then released me from the mental obsession. So I was free from the mental obsession for a long time, but did not understand the physical craving. Let me check my time. 3 minutes left. I was not free from the allergy, the physical craving. because I couldn't really clearly identify, because I had compulsively eaten on everything from apples to broccoli to desserts, you name it. I mean, I ate compulsively on all kinds of things. So it was really hard for me to be able to say what exactly would be an alcoholic food for me. And that's the part of my journey in OA that has taken the longest amount of time. I finally understood that sugar is a problem for me only a year ago, a year ago in July. And that's actually, it's funny because it coincided with a slip I had in the HAL program. So my recommitment date is July 23rd, 2019. And it was like on the 20th of July that I started to kind of go, oh, even though I'd been abstinent, I was like, maybe that sugar thing really is a problem. And so I actually sought some outside help and got some education on food addiction. And as a result, my first step is completely solid now. And it's just changed everything in my life. I had incredible blessings and amazing promises coming true in my life for the last 19 years. But now I feel really rock solid and grounded in the reality that I'm a compulsive overeater. And that there really isn't any other place for me except the HAL concept. I love my program. I love my phone calls. I love, love, love all of you. And it's the one place in my world where I am connected to people who are doing what I'm doing, who get me, understand me. I get you and understand you. And it feels like a little private club. You know, it's that sense of belonging that was never present in my life anywhere else, not in my family, not in my school, not in my church. It's just being in program, being in recovery, being recovered is just a gift and a miracle, and I'm grateful. And I think with that, I'll pass, even though my 10 minutes might not be up. I would now like to introduce our guest speaker,
Ida. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Ida. Welcome.
Hey,
hey Ida.
Really fun to be here. Thanks so much. I wrote my talk, so you'll see me looking away a little bit, but also looking at the camera.
Ida, how would you like your time?
Oh, thank you. How about 10?
Okay.
And 1, and then 10.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot. So my name is Ida, and I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. And before I start, I just want to show you some pictures that I was definitely without defense against the first bite. So let's see. There's one. And another. And another. And then there's that one. And then there's all those. And then there's those two are in recovery. There is a solution. Big book, page 25. So just some statistics. I'm about 5'3". My high weight was roughly around 165 pounds. God has relieved me of a little over 55 pounds. I was a compulsive overeater for over 27 years. I came into OA How at age 45 in 2002. Being a member of OA How and being abstinent are the best gifts my higher power have given me. I have a really great, incredible, blessed life. I'm very happy, joyous, and free. Not every day, but for the most part, I'm happy, joyous, and free. But I really wasn't that way before OA How. There's a saying, the disease of compulsive eating wants me dead, but it will settle for miserable. And I was miserable for decades. I grew up in Chicago. I'm from an immigrant family. We weren't poor. We always had enough to eat, but we were really careful with money and with spending, and desserts were really the exception, not the norm. I hoarded food at Halloween. I obsessed about food at Easter and holidays. But basically, I really didn't think about food very much. I enjoyed it or I didn't. I was a skinny kid. My mom made the food. We ate it. Sometimes I didn't. Home was a really scary and stressful place. My dad, bless his heart, was an alcoholic, violent. He was a prisoner of war in his past. My mom was very anxious, had a lot of anger, experienced lots of oppression, and they really lived lives of trauma before coming to America and after. I believe alcohol kept my dad alive the same way sugar kept me alive and on the planet. I needed a way to cope. I know my parents did the very best they could. Nevertheless, home was really stressful and I had a ton of anxiety. Fast forward, I'm now 18 years old and I'm in college. First time I'm away from home. Really low self-esteem, honestly. I just didn't have it. I just didn't have any. I was shy and I didn't want anybody to know it. I had enormous amounts of self-doubt and no confidence. I was afraid of being picked on and laughed at. I befriended a gal and we got to know each other by going out to eat. And this is a whole new, really exciting world for me. We frequented cheap eating places. I took to fast food like a fish in water. All sorts of takeout food, fatty food, sugar, chocolate, any and all sorts of snack foods. When I did go to the school cafeteria to eat, I ate sweets and pastries, nothing substantial. No protein unless it was fried or with gravy or butter. Naturally, I gained about 25 pounds in that first year of college. Without knowing it, I started the ignition of a runaway train. And while I was eating, I was having the time of my life, but little did I know the despair to follow. In the doctor's opinion, in the big book, Roman numeral page 26, talks about the manifestation of an allergy, that the phenomenon of craving is limited to this class and never occurs in the average temperate drinker, in my case, eater. These allergic types can never safely use alcohol, my case, binge food, in any form at all. And once having formed the habit, once having lost their self-confidence, their reliance upon things human, their problems pile up on them and become astonishingly difficult to solve. I was developing the habit every time I said yes to food. I developed the habit by letting myself eat with no restrictions, denying myself nothing. I didn't want to eat it tomorrow. I wanted it today. I wanted it now. It seems I may have been fulfilling a bottomless need from childhood. But whatever the reason, or for no reason at all, I wanted to eat and I couldn't stop. I didn't stop until the food was gone or until I was sick to my stomach, which happened every time. It didn't happen once in a while. It didn't happen frequently. It happened every time and I couldn't stop. Food was helping me cope with life because that was the real problem, my inability to cope with life. I didn't know how to handle my emotions. The food problems continued, the emotional the emotional frustrations of work, relationships with other people, and myself continued. I was mad all the time. I was mad at my family of origin for my childhood issues. I was mad at God because life wasn't going my way. I knew that how I was eating and the amounts I was eating were a problem. A couple close friends knew my problems with food and they tried to help me, but they didn't know how and I didn't know how. I tried 100 various gymnastics to try to stop. Some helped for a while. I even got to go away, but then eventually I just started eating all those foods that I had abstained from. So it was like, you know, 6 months to lose weight and then 6 months to put it back on. Eventually, sugar, chocolate, and fat crept back in and took over once again. This compulsive eating happened every day despite my best intentions. Bill's story in the Big Book, page 8, quote, "No words can tell of the loneliness and despair I found in that bitter morass of self-pity. Quicksand stretched around me in all directions. I had met my match. I had been overwhelmed. Alcohol was my master." End of quote. For me, binge food had me by the throat and whipped me around the room like a rag doll every time. I would start out the day and say, "I won't eat so much today. I'll just have 2 cookies." And then I would go to the bakery, and then I would think to myself, I should really just save some time and just so I don't have to come back later in the week. I could never trust myself about what I was going to eat or not eat. I found that whenever I said to myself, "It'll be okay," it was never okay. And I learned that was like a huge red flag for me. Whenever I thought, "It'll be okay," I was probably allowing myself to eat something or the quantities that were not good for me. I kept trying to force a solution where I would be a normal eater, continuing to eat the foods I wanted to eat without any consequences. I was truly addicted to certain foods because on a conscious level, I knew what I was doing was killing myself. Compulsive overeating negatively affected every area of my life. I was addicted because I wanted to keep picking up the food, knowing it was killing me. I kept choosing it. I knew I was insane. I learned about traditional OA in the 80s. I didn't understand the steps, and so I left. I returned back to that meeting in the 90s and was astonished to find other people who had problems with sugar, chocolate, fat, and other food and quantities. I kept thinking, "I'm not as bad as they are," but really deep down inside, I still didn't want to put the food down. But my practice of continuing to overeat proved the same outcome over and over. Not able to stop, feeling sick to my stomach, and then utter remorse, depression, and shame, isolation. I went back to the meeting and I got a sponsor. I gave up all sweets and sweeteners and binge foods. Giving up sweeteners was really important for me. I began weighing and measuring my food. I didn't know how to work the steps throughout this whole time. After about 6 years, I had a major relapse. And this was just about the same time that OA How had arrived in Minneapolis. I went to my first OA How meeting in January of 2002. And the person who brought it, she was from the East Coast, explained the disease in a way I had never heard before. Our text was the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and she spoke of the obsession of the mind and the allergy of the body. I heard it not as theory this time, but as reality and a real killing disease, because when I wasn't eating, I was thinking about it. Once I put food in my mouth, I was feeding the allergy of the body. Then came the crash, demoralization, shame, everything the same. Again, day after day, decade after decade, year after year. I learned this is a disease, not a moral failing or a lack of willpower.
10 minutes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
that for whatever reason, the disease was not activated in me as a child, but rose its head mightily as I entered college. And it didn't stop. And I learned it is a progressive disease. It doesn't get better on its own. As it says in the big book, the only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence. Big book, Roman numeral 28. I've learned so many things in OA How. My eyes were open for the first time. This is not a disease that can be cured, but it can be arrested one day at a time. Not all diseases have a solution, but the disease of compulsive eating does. I learned I couldn't relieve me of the disease and no one else could either. I learned this is a spiritual program, that I needed a higher power, one that worked for me in my life, one that I could believe in. And I was asked to think about, what do you need in a higher power? Just thinking about that felt like heresy, but I needed help and I knew that I needed something to rely on because relying on me wasn't working. And I really wanted what you had. So here's what I saw at that first meeting I went to. I saw happiness, joy. You were having fun. Your eyes were clear. You were laughing. I heard sincerity. I heard honesty, truth. And you were so vulnerable. And I knew there was no way you were lying. You were doing this program. You were working it. You were following all the guidelines, everything we do. You were calling a sponsor, committing food every day. You were disciplined. You were accountable. You had a peace and joy that I could spot. And I could see myself. I could see that night that I was doing and I was eating whatever and whenever I wanted. I was doing exactly as I wanted with no discipline, and I was really miserable. And it's as if you took me by the shoulders and just shifted me a little bit so that I could see a new horizon and a new life possible for me. I learned about ego reduction, humility, selfishness, the 12 steps and the traditions, praying, putting abstinence first, saying what I mean and meaning what I say, being honest. I learned I had to be really honest with my sponsor about everything, because if that relationship wasn't solid, it was just a matter of time before I would start circling the drain. So even the hard stuff, which is really hard to talk about. And I learned I had to give back. I learned that I could help somebody. Even if I was in the program a week, I could make a phone call to that new person, you know, who came for the first time. I could make a phone call. I could put away chairs when we were meeting. I could have a different life by following the steps, the guidelines, and the tools. And no matter what, I had realized that picking up the food was no longer an option for me. Because every time I picked up the food, it's not like I could have a few bites. It's like that saying, one bite's too many, a thousand's not enough. I had to learn a way not to pick up that bite. And so I learned from you. I've really been blessed. I don't take abstinence lightly. You know, it took me a long time to get abstinent. I wasn't ready for a long time, and I really wanted to be ready. And I had a number of slips, and, and then by God's grace, you know, I've had solid abstinence, you know, since. I just really hang on to it tightly, because I know that there's no guarantee I would get abstinent again. And if I don't have abstinence, I'm not going to have anything meaningful in my life. The disease is not far away from me. It's right, you know, it's like in my kitchen. It's like right over there in the pantry. There's food and, you know, but honestly, I don't want it. And that's the miracle. You know, that's what my higher power has done for me that I couldn't do for myself. That's what you guys have led me to. The fact that I don't even want I don't even want anything that's not on my food plan. I've learned the disease can be as sly and subtle as a fleeting thought. God, I wish I could eat, blah, blah, blah. And then I take my hand off the hot stove, like the big book says, and I remind myself, taking a bite would ruin everything, every good thing that I have. The miracle of the program is what my higher power has done for me. I don't want the bite. I want this life. OA Howe has provided me with everything I need, and I didn't even know it. I didn't even know I needed, you know, to read and write every day. I didn't know that I needed to talk to somebody and be accountable every day. I didn't know that I needed to make 3 phone calls a day at least. And I just hated that thought. But I thought, I have to do what these people do. Otherwise, I'm not gonna get what they have. Committing my food, reading, writing assignments, inventory every day to my sponsor. It's so good for me to have my head in the literature every day and write for 15 minutes. I have connections with fellows, new, old, and in between every day. Some I've known for 18 years. We walk together. We know what's going on in each other's lives. I attend at least one HOW meeting a week, in part to remind myself of who and what I am. The person that brought it to us said that often. Remember who and what you are. I am a compulsive overeater, and I always will be. And you know what? I'm grateful. Because if I didn't have this, I wouldn't ask for help. If I didn't have this, I wouldn't get in touch with, you know, the littlest piece of humility. If I didn't have this, I would just ruin it. She also said, don't forget what your last binge was like. I don't want to forget that I have this thing. I'm a compulsive overeater. I will always be a compulsive overeater. And the meetings are a place to give hope to the new or returning member. I'm grateful I get to keep coming back because I need you. I need a village of fellows I can talk with honestly, knowing it will be held in confidence. I need everything we do in this program, and it gives me a sane and a full, rich life. You know, every day is not great. Life's not unicorns and stardust every day. I still have problems regulating my emotions. Life is stressful. Things don't go the way I want. I want to control people and the world. But I am living the best life I've ever had. I'm close to my God. I'm close to my higher power, a growing, progressing, letting go of perfectionism a little at a time. And I know that abstinence is the most important thing in my life without exception. If I don't have, you know, when I'm abstinent, my best self starts the day. You know, I show up, my best self. Anything less than abstinence, you know, I'm just not showing up my best self, and I want to show up my best self.
It's time. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, everybody. Keep coming back.
Thanks, Ida.
Thanks, Ida.
Ida.
Thank you.
Ida.
Thank you.
Can someone help me? Since it's 9 o'clock, are we going to not have shares?
Correct.
No shares.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Thank you. I want to thank you for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting today. I also thank all of those who participated, especially our speaker, Ida, who offered so much of herself. May we please,
hey, Ida, thank you.
May we please have the reading of Just For Today.
Hi, this is Rena, compulsive overeater.
Hey, hi, Rena.
Hi, Rena.
Welcome.
Mm-hmm. So, Just For Today. I will try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problem at once. I can do something for one day that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will be happy. This assumes to be true what Abraham Lincoln said, that most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. I will try to strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in three ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least two things I don't want to do. Just for exercise, I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I'll have it. I'll save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. During this half hour, sometime, I will try to get a better perspective of my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world will give to me. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Rena.
Thanks, Rena.
Thanks, Rena.
You're welcome.
To those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that was said here today should remain safely here as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program will get your weight off or on. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove the compulsion in time and give you contentment in all areas of life. After a moment of meditation, will those who wish to please join in to say the Serenity Prayer.
You're on mute.
God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change,
the courage to change the things I can,
and wisdom to know the difference.
Thy will not mine be done. Amen.
Keep coming back.
It works when you work it.
Love and hugs and love. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you, Ada. Thanks, Elizabeth. Thanks, Ida. Thank you, Ada. Thanks for your service.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
It was great.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for helping me.
Yeah. Have a great week.
Good job, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Elizabeth and Ada. Great job, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Good night, all.
Bye. Night.
Bye. Good night. Have a good week.